Yo, boys, welcome to Steak and Eggs Overcooked, episode 98. Appreciate y'all being here. We're still joined by Tips. We didn't really get through everything we wanted to talk about in the main episode, so here we are for round two. Tips, you got anything you feel like you left unsaid for the first episode?
A lot.
Okay.
I'm ready to get overcooked.
Okay. All right. What's on your mind? In particular, anything pressing right now?
What's the meaning of it all, man?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to ask a question that I wanted to ask now that we're on Patreon. We just signed Will Neff. Mm. Okay. Who's next?
That's a good question.
But yeah, let's say hypothetically, you could have like a dreamless, like a Justice League, like five people you would love to join OTK.
This is going to sound super cliche and like a cop-out answer.
Sure.
But the people that are already here are my Justice League. I'm serious.
We also have for example, we have like Co-Carnage involved with Mad Mushroom, right? Yeah. And like he would be another one of those guys.
Yep.
And so we are kind of working with some of those other people in like just a different capacity other than just OTK.
Yes.
I think one thing we want to be very careful of when somebody joins OTK proper is it has to be the right person.
Yeah, so Jinxie.
He's hilarious, but it has to be the right person. You know, we have our own kind of internal, not metrics, but criteria of like what we consider to be like somebody good, you know, right? Somebody that fits in. And there's no rush on the next signing. And there was no rush on Will either. It's got to be the right person. Their DNA matches our DNA. You know, it's such a natural fit. And it can be, you know, really the last thing we consider is the size. Like we don't need big creator, small creator. It doesn't matter. It's just somebody that you know, matches our philosophy, you know, can collaborate with us well on content, is funny, is entertaining, is genuinely a good person.
Yeah.
You know, somebody nice to be around and all that stuff. And, you know, I think there's definitely some people we've been talking about internally, but I don't think there's any rush. And
there's a certain magic that I feel.
Yeah.
When I know that somebody's coming soon.
Yeah.
And, you know, I miss that feeling because
there's always going to be a somebody coming soon, right? I mean, we've had conversations. We probably have a conversation about this, if not every week, every other week, right? Mm-hmm. Is like prospects, things that we're thinking about doing, et cetera.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've been very ambitious so far and we're not going to stop. I mean, I'll tell you that.
Exactly.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Lord Athelstan, what do you think?
He's a great fucking guy, man. Great dude. Good as a VTuber, good as an IRL creator. He just does it all. I'm going to be real, man. You know, I think we need to pick him up immediately.
Oh my God.
I need him down in Austin, bro.
For the record, I'm a fan of it too. I like Lord Athelstan.
It's fucking awesome.
I think he's great.
I hate him. I think he's terrible.
Oh, well.
Worst stream I've ever watched.
Yeah, I know, man. Him and yeah, he's definitely my number one.
Did you guys see the buy-in of Disney into Epic?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. So Disney bought they put $1.5 billion in and for 10% of Epic Games. And I am...
Was it actually 10% for $1.5 billion?
I believe. Let me go ahead and double check right now.
Sure.
But I remember reading that it was 10%. And I'm... The thing is, like, I think this is kind of good because here's like my perspective before I talk about any more other stuff, is that like Steam is great. Steam is the best.
It is.
But Steam also should not be a monopoly.
Yes.
And I agree.
It's good to see Epic doing well. And I want to see another platform because there will be a time that Steam doesn't do something the right way because that's just everybody makes mistakes, right?
What was the last mistake Steam made? Because it's been pretty good.
There was some sort of like a modding thing and this was like maybe 10 years ago that was unpopular, but I don't remember exactly what the details were at this point.
I will be real. I would be
and
okay.
Also, for some people, for some developers, they're not happy because Steam takes a percentage they think is unfair.
Okay.
Steam takes 30%.
Okay.
Obviously, like, you know, there's a trade-off for everything. It makes sense, you know, in some cases. And in other cases, it doesn't. It depends on the publisher.
I am 1 million percent okay with Steam becoming a monopoly because it's done such a good job. And I'll be real, I don't want to download these other fucking game clients. Shit drives me nuts. I don't want to download Ubisoft. I don't want to fucking download Epic Games. I want there to be one that I download and I have everything. It's the same thing with fucking streaming platforms, man. There's like 5,000. It is so irritating. Like Disney Plus, Hulu, Netflix,
Crunchyroll. Well, that's what stresses me out with Disney buying out Epic. It's like I'm thinking, is this going to be the beginning of like, you know, Disney Plus? Because like really, whenever you think about it in a more abstract sense, consoles are like that.
Yeah.
Like you, like, is there's been like this big conversation about Xbox being potentially going third party and like no longer making their own console. Have you seen this?
Yes.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, yeah. PlayStation took over. Xbox. It did.
Xbox sucks.
PlayStation is outselling Xbox 3-1.
Yeah.
And fuck yeah, PlayStation. Deserve.
Yeah, exactly. And the Xbox titles are just not very good right now.
I mean, let's be okay. What even is a current Xbox title that's like popping off? I can't even think of a single one.
Well, this year they brought out Hi-Fi Rush.
It was okay.
It was okay. It was good. I mean, it was a good game, but it's like, you know, it's the same level of like Prince of Persia, I would say, right?
Yeah.
It's people don't perceive it as being like that big game. Redfall was a disaster.
Yep.
You had Starfield that came out, which was like some people liked it, but overall it was generally not well received. And I think there was like maybe a couple of other ones that came out and people didn't really like those either.
Yeah. I know before Gears of War was insane.
That was the game.
And Halo. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, what Halo happened Infinite to Halo, man? Halo, I mean,
did happen to Halo.
Like, dude, I could go on about Halo for a long time.
Why has there not been a Halo Battle Royale?
Because the only battle BR in Halo is the battle rifle. And that's the antiquated gatekeepy thing that all of the Halo players say. And they're actively killing their own game. That's why.
Damn.
I made a video about it. Doc said it. Tim said it. Every other streamer said that it needs a BR. If you look at the player base for Modern Warfare 2, like before and after Warzone, it like 500% of it. It like 5 to 10x the population.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Warzone has been mismanaged since then. But like overall, Warzone massively saved the game.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed Warzone quite a bit.
It was the best BR at the time. Whenever it came out, it was the best BR. Yeah.
I mean, I'll be real. I have a blind allegiance to PUBG.
Yeah.
I don't care. I know it's bad. I know it's fucking terrible. I don't care. I love PUBG so much. It's unbelievable.
I do too. I mean, like I would say right now, like what is the best BR? I think Fortnite's the best BR right now. Like that's just...
It came out on top.
Yeah.
In terms of the Disney, you know, investment, I'll say this. My kind of rule of thumb, although there's exceptions, general rule of thumb is whenever money comes into the gaming space, it's generally speaking a good thing. There's obviously some places that, you know, maybe the money's coming from a controversial place or a government or whatever.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, more money in gaming, like when anybody invests in gaming, they're not looking to invest and then operate these companies. This is like generally speaking with any investment. Like when we receive investment, you're not all of a sudden getting like new operators coming in, kicking everybody out. This isn't an acquisition. It's an investment. Two different things.
Why would they want to do that?
Exactly. It's a waste of their time. They got their own things to worry about. So I think from one perspective, more money in games, especially right now with all these layoffs happening, it's a good thing generally. Number two, Disney coming in is a huge validation of the market. Gaming is actually bigger than Hollywood and music combined right now at this point. So I think that's probably what spurred them on here. But also, Epic gets to benefit too because they get to, I'm guessing, lean strategically on Disney's IP. And right now in gaming, one of the most valuable things you can have, probably under a good platform, like the next best thing, and you can argue the best thing, is good IP.
Yeah.
Because if tomorrow Disney owns what? They own everything at this point. But let's say they made a super awesome, really cool, like Frozen game. Mm. That's what it's called, right? Frozen?
Yeah.
Yeah, Frozen with Elsa, right? Yeah. Yep. So like a really good, high quality Elsa Frozen game, whatever. A lot of people are going to buy it because it's an identifiable IP. It's something that a lot of people understand. And, you know, this is why, you know...
That's why Fortnite's so successful. Look at the Lego Fortnite.
Exactly. Thing. All the transmedia, them licensing all this different IP. So while we were talking earlier about so many more games coming out, the market becoming saturated, so much harder to break through, what's one of the easiest ways you can break through from a marketing standpoint is having IP, licensed IP that people know. The Star Wars of the world and the, you know, Pokemons of the world and stuff like that. Why did Power World do so well? Power World was a success for a number of reasons, but a lot of people don't know this. When Power World announced itself 3 years ago, it was already popular. Like, Power World's success wasn't just overnight. It wasn't post-launch. Dude, I've known about power for years, and so many people have. Absolutely. Because
Pokemon was slavery.
Exactly. Pokemon, yep. Pokemon with guns, whatever it is.
Well, so it was guns at the beginning. Yeah. It was slavery was just the happy surprise whenever the game
came out. That shit was insane. When you saw the trailer of all them in the factory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God this is on Patreon. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, like when you have IP, it's an immediate attention grabber. It shocks the hippocampus. It dials people in. And so this, in my opinion, is an overall W. I don't think Disney's going to suddenly take over Epic and ruin the Epic store or anything like that. I think you're going to see more licensed IP. And I think overall more cash infusion is great. Granted, I freaking hate so much of what Disney is. Like I despise that company in a lot of ways. But ultimately, yeah, for the gaming space, I think it's a good thing.
Cool. So here's the thing, Tips. And I've noticed a lot with conversation with you. Generally, conversation with you go very professional, very businesslike. So I would like to completely steer against that.
Okay. I'll try.
I just want to know, yeah, real quick, what do you go out and eat when you're feeling like a real fat fuck? Like, what is your, I'm a nasty fat fuck, I'm going to eat something disgusting. Like, for example, me, it's Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I go get a cheesy gordita crunch. I get two of the Doritos Shell Locos Tacos, a full Baja Blast, and like eight of those Cinnabon rolls. And also, there's a Baja Blast gelato coming out.
I watched the event.
Insane.
The event was ridiculous.
I loved it. So what is your meal that you go out and get?
Okay, I have a confession to make.
Yep.
I have a special breakfast that I get virtually every morning.
I'm going to get Chick-fil-A.
No.
No? Okay, what is it?
I get the barbecue chicken sandwich, the barbecue tender chicken sandwich from Whataburger almost every single morning.
Shit is so good.
It is so good, and it's the worst thing you can start your day with. Like, the worst thing.
Yep.
But I have terrible sleeping habits. Obviously, I barely sleep.
Yep.
So it's like 3, 4 a.m. and I'm hungry. And it's like, where are you going to go? You're going to go to Whataburger and you're going to get the freaking tender sandwich. Before that, it was the chili cheeseburger, which they no longer have, unfortunately.
Damn.
But yeah.
Mine's the green chili burger.
Okay.
Really? Or the Whataburger patty melt with extra spicy ketchup.
The patty melt's delicious.
Seeing that right there, what does that do to your body?
Things that I can't say on video. It's so good, man.
Yeah.
Dude, Whataburger's amazing. Like,
see, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. So I'm also curious. I want to go dive a little bit deeper. I also love Whataburger.
Yeah.
I think they have the best ketchup. Spicy ketchup Whataburger is my favorite on the whole planet. It's so fun. And their fries, I think, are fucking fantastic. I also want to know, what's a guilty pleasure of yours that maybe you haven't talked about? It's like, what's something where you like, you really enjoy it, but you might have a controversial opinion if you say it out loud. Like, somebody might think you're a dork. Like, for example, like admitting that you like watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians or something like that.
I got you.
You have anything like that?
That's a good question. Another cop-out answer.
Yeah.
I work a lot. Like, a lot. And I have very little free time. And the free time that I have, I spend it with my kids.
I get that.
So, in terms of like a guilty pleasure... Okay. This is embarrassing. I don't have as much time for it anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm a big reader. I love to read. Especially fantasy books. I love fantasy.
Who's your favorite author for fantasy? Mine's R.A. Salvatore.
Scott Lynch. I love the Gentleman Bastards series. The Lies of Locke Lamora is probably my top two or three favorite books ever.
Fuck yeah.
He's coming out with The Thorn of Emberlane this year. Hopefully, it's been like 7 years since his last book.
You got contacts or no?
Contacts?
Do you use contacts?
No.
Okay. So your eyes are that good?
Fortunately, yes. Reading, I'm blessed with very good eyes, terrible ears. I can't hear for sure.
Yeah, reading fucked my eyes bad because I would always read in low light. It would fuck me so hard.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But guilty pleasure, I used to read a lot of romance novels. I used to read a lot of Nicholas Sparks. I know it's embarrassing.
I would have never expected that ever.
And I used to read a lot of like young adult books like The Hunger Games, the Divergent series, I've read the Twilight series. Like, I don't know why, man. Okay. I went through a phase. Okay. I'm a reader. You know, it is what it is. And I wanted to keep up with the cultural norms and stuff like that.
So you're a romantic.
I think it's been lost along the way, but there was a point in time where I was really into stuff like that.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I have a guilty pleasure where I like get candles and I go into a bath and I fill it up with lavender soap. And then I have one of my cats just chilling in the bathroom with me. And I just sit there and I listen to Radiohead with my fucking buddy Eggie. And he's just sitting there. He loves it. He likes swatting the water with his paw. It's really cute.
That's awesome.
So what's like a... if you could pick a superpower, what would it be?
Very good question.
Yep. You got to do it off rip. What's the first one that comes to your mind? And I really hope it's not invisibility. Everybody who picks invisibility is a scumbag.
Can it be like one of those like gimmicky superpowers? Absolutely. Where the ability to create any superpower I want?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Like that. Okay, yeah. And taking out all that aside.
Yep. This is a big one. Tells a lot. Are you afraid of saying something that might tell too much?
It's not even that. I just haven't thought about it too much before. I'm trying to think. Like, okay. It's such a defining question where I'm just like,
Let's say this. You meet a genie. You have 5 seconds to pick a superpower. What are you picking? And if you don't pick one, then you don't get a superpower. In 5, 4,
the ability to dish out nuclear scale destruction without any fallout.
Okay. All right. That's huge. Okay. So you're nuts. Okay. Cool. And then last question. This one comes from Will Neff. Yeah. He asked this to everybody he meets. Yeah. If you had a button, and it can't be the previous answer you said, you have a button. Mm-hmm. Whenever you press that button, it does something. What does your button do?
Oh, makes my family happy.
I like that. That's sweet. That makes you really happy. How many kids you got?
Two.
Cool. How old?
My son's 3 and my daughter's 1.
Oh, that's awesome. That's like fresh.
Fresh.
Yeah. My brother, his daughter just turned 12 and now she's becoming like a teenager beforehand. And now my dad doesn't like talking to her anymore. apparently when they turn a certain age, they just become fucking horrible company. So he's like, oh, that's okay. In 6 years, she'll be fun to talk to again. But for right now, I'm good, buddy.
It's a tough age, dude. It's a tough age. Girls at that age. Yep. Oof. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah. That's still cool though. All right. As we were. 100 Thieves.
Can
Pokemon.
I elaborate on nuclear scale destruction? Because I feel like everyone's going to think I'm a psychopath.
No, there's no reason.
Okay, I was thinking like, what is like a power that can make the most impact?
Yeah.
And I was just like, just thinking, right? And I was like, okay, if you have nuclear capabilities, like generally speaking, it gives you a lot of leverage to negotiate.
That's true. And right? if they don't agree, you blow them up.
Exactly. Without the fallout.
Yeah.
Yeah, no fallout though.
I don't know, dude. I was just thinking about it. Yeah. Listen, I watch a lot of random historical documentaries and stuff like that. So
yeah.
it was subconscious.
Historical documentaries. I would have never pegged you as a historical documentary guy.
I love history. I love learning new stuff. I've got like a deeply seated intellectual curiosity.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking earlier about like guilty pleasures and stuff like that, one of the things I was considering saying is like, I just love I'll watch like some history thing and I'll just let it play the next video.
Yeah.
And anything where I feel like I learned something, I enjoy.
Yeah. I think I'm a lot. I love social deduction games. Mm-hmm. So I recently started researching like biases and paradoxes and like shit like that. What is it called? A catch-22? Is that a fallacy or is that a paradox?
Well, it's a paradox. Catch-22. Yeah. It's, you can't go back in time to kill your own grandfather is kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, that's the grandfather paradox. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that shit really interesting. But like understanding how the human mind works is like something that I very much enjoy doing. I really hope there's a new Among Us like. I think I think the Hearthstone meta and the Among Us meta were my two favorite metas for Twitch. I know for y'all it was probably World of Warcraft, maybe. But
that's a good question. I mean, from a playing meta, this is actually, what's your favorite Twitch meta?
Yeah, what's your favorite Twitch meta? Like yeah.
From a viewing standpoint, oh man, there were so many good ones.
PUBG was also fire.
PUBG was cool. I think I liked the original Rust server meta.
Yeah. What year was that?
It was like 4 years.
2000 and... No, it wasn't that long ago. I think it was actually somewhere around 2020.
Okay, yeah, not too long ago.
Yeah.
Okay. I really liked it because it was so funny. Watching XQC just go so freaking insane.
Remember when
on everybody?
He just rode into the town and he just shot Pokemon with a shotgun in front of everybody on a horse and he just gets off and then he just says, ah, da, da, da.
Dude, that was so funny, man. Like, yeah, I miss that era. Like, the pre-COVID, this is going to sound so boring, but the pre-COVID era on Twitch, it felt like you could get away with a little bit more. And there wasn't as much money in the scene, so people didn't care as much, maybe. Yeah. That was just fun all around. I also love the old, like, Soda Pop and Mitch Jones 42-0 stuff from like 2014. Like that stuff is near and dear to me. Mm. A lot of good metas on Twitch over the years, man. Yeah.
I think OTK needs to release more org-wide merchandise of just really dumb shit. Like OTK crayons, like One True Crayon. Yeah. And sell a crayon pack. There's only 5,000 of them. If you don't get it, you never get it ever again. And we have like S-Fan Black, Tectone Blue, Mizkif Green. I think doing some dumb shit like that would be really cool. So I am curious, what do you think the next big like merch thing we're going to do is?
There was an idea that we floated about selling water for that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Water and then I think coffee, the powdered coffee, we considered it for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What happened?
Well, we just didn't happen because like we were like, well, I don't drink water. Who's gonna do this?
I feel like OTK water is probably one of the worst ideas I've ever heard. That makes me so
that's what
happy
makes
to hear
good,
about that.
Right? That's yeah. The thing. It's like, is it really any worse than crayons? I think it's even dumber, right?
So, yeah, crayons are cute though.
So OTK is obviously a COVID baby company. We started during COVID.
Absolutely.
So right around that time, everyone's streams were exploding. Okay.
Yep.
And everyone was pulling their marketing budgets out of traditional and putting it into gaming. So you had all these different industries all of a sudden, they're pouring their money into gaming because they need advertising because they can't advertise anywhere else because everyone else is closed. So during that point of time, a lot of, not even grifters, but like a lot of people from outside the industry came in and started pitching crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take anything away from our cookies, but like Pokimane's cookies, probably that idea was probably conceived during that time of like COVID and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we were thinking about ideas like that too. It didn't do anything wrong there, in my opinion. But like the we went through a phase where we were like, let's do beef jerky. Let's do bottled water.
Ooh,
let's
beef
do
jerky.
The only reason why we didn't do beef jerky is because we couldn't use the name. We had a very specific name that we wanted to use.
Yes.
And we went back and forth with the distributor and they said, no, you're not using that fucking name.
Yes. What was the name? Can you say? We can bleep it out in the episode.
I'll tell you off stream.
Sure. Because I think you selling beef jerky would farm.
Well, it wasn't a name based off of me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think you specifically could farm selling the fuck jerky. Out of beef jerky.
Oh, 1
million percent.
100%. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool as fuck. Because a lot of creators are getting to that space. I'm not sure if you saw Mr. Beast is revamping Feastables and thank God because they taste like shit.
Yes.
And then Pokemon or Cookies, Logan Paul in the Prime.
You want to go on a direct-to-consumer tangent here for a second?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. So I'm trying to think where to like start from. But basically, a lot of content creators like to go into direct-to-consumer goods because theoretically, they can sell that audience directly to their community.
Yep.
The problem they don't understand is that in order to get something into like a Walmart or a Target or whatever, wherever…
It's a pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the ass. You have to pull off massive D2C numbers and then you've got to prove out your case to the retailer or whatever, right? And unless you have really good pre-established inroads with those companies, you're not going to be able to scale your business properly.
Yeah.
And so guys like Logan Paul and KSI, I think they've done the best job of this.
Well,
with
and
Prime.
Also Prime didn't start in Walmart. Like it was starting in like just random stores in like the UK and shit. And then it just started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So they built up to that. It's not like they just got put at Walmart on day one.
Exactly. Yeah. And in terms of the scale of those two creators, a lot of us don't understand. Like,
they're really big.
Logan Paul is a freaking global icon. Like,
absolutely.
They know him everywhere. KSI is a global icon. And they both operate primarily in different markets. So they get massive coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to have a successful, you know, CPG, consumer packed goods company, is you need massive reach.
Yep.
And long story short, a lot of these companies don't do well. They all end up being novelty products because Pokimane on her own, even at her peak, could not generate the momentum needed to get a brand like that off the ground and into retail, most likely.
Yep.
Like if she had partnered up with a couple of other creators that maybe complemented her reach in different markets, then maybe she would have been able to pull it off.
Yep.
And maybe it's doing well. I don't know. I could just be a dumbass here. But like generally speaking, CPG market, super competitive, very hard to get into retail. And the reach you need to actually pull it off is usually massive.
Well, it's also that like people consume products for different reasons than people consume content.
Yes.
And so like we ran into this with Starforge. And so like whenever we announced Starforge, the prices were too high. People weren't happy with like what the offering was.
That.
And we had to fix that because like whenever you're selling a consumer a product, the consumer is not looking at you Like, for example, people, kids like Prime. Like, the drink is good, according to a lot of people. So it's like, that's really the selling point. Why do people drink Prime? They don't drink Prime because they like Logan Paul. They drink Prime because they like Prime.
Exactly.
And if Prime tasted like shit, it wouldn't be successful. So, that's what happened with Starforge. Is like, we had to make sure that we are competing in the market with the other people in the market directly, and not as in, oh, well, we're a streamer company and so it's different and like we don't have to follow market rules. I think that's different.
Our measurement for success at Starforge is when like over 95% of our sales are generated by people that have no idea who Asmin is, idea who Asmin is. And creators, they're a great catalyst in my experience. Like they're a great catalyst for products, but they are not good as a long-term sustained marketing vehicle. Absolutely. I personally don't think. Because creators get busy, they got other obligations, they got other sponsors they got to do, they got lives they have to live.
Yep.
So I think whenever you're building a creator-led business, you know, your goal should be, okay, I'm using this creator to platform my product, but the product itself should stand on its own 2 feet, and I should have, you know, an entire marketing apparatus ready to take the reins over from the creator.
That shit makes sense to me.
Sorry, it's boring. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. I mean, that shit makes sense to me.
Well, that's what happens, right? I mean, you have a lot of people, and it's like, the thing is with like merch is like that weird middle ground. I'm not sure how well like 100 Thieves is doing with the Foundations line. I don't know. Because it's like, they started trying to sell clothes that weren't really branded around 100 Thieves. And I'm curious to know like kind of what are the numbers for that? Was this really successful? Because at that point, you're going to have people that are buying those clothes for the quality of the clothes.
Yes.
Like whenever somebody buys like a, you know, like some random, a t-shirt from Kai or somebody like that, they don't expect this to be like this high quality, amazing product. It's like just kind of almost like a gimmick item that you get for supporting some streamer that you like.
Exactly.
And so it doesn't really matter that much. But whenever you start selling something that people are buying to fulfill a certain purpose or to like, you know, serve a certain goal, that's whenever I think that a lot of the, you know, content creator influencer marketing kind of falls apart.
Yes. Especially with apparel. Like apparel, we've learned this lesson the hard way, unfortunately, at OTK. It's super competitive. And in order to have truly successful apparel business model, it has to become a trend. Like everyone has to be wearing it. When I think on the creator side,
Cloud9, tank tops.
Exactly. It's got to be so popular. So the truth is, merch in and of itself, we're talking like straight apparel and clothing, it's not that great a business unless you are able, again, to collaborate with a lot of different creators, expand your reach, and have it be trend-based. Like, not even who are the fashion setters, the trend setters in the fashion space? It's not us, you know?
Yeah.
No offense to Zach or anyone.
Yeah.
It's not us. But if all of a sudden Kanye West or I don't even know who, I'm like, I mean, so even, out of even pop culture.
Ethan with Teddy Fresh.
Well, Ethan's a great example of someone who platformed a business, but it wasn't called the Ethan Klein whatever. Yep. It's called Teddy Fresh.
Yep.
And so he built a brand from the ground up. And you can just tell by the quality of that merch, the product stands on its own 2 feet.
Absolutely.
It was great that he platformed it, but I wouldn't be surprised that if they launched that business without being content creators, it could have found success one day.
Yep.
So that's
probably not as fast.
Not as fast.
Yeah. That's what content creators can do. They can accelerate a success of something. It's kind of like I said with games, right? Like a content creator can sell a good game and blow up a good game, but they can't sell a bad game.
Yes.
Yep.
To piggyback off what Zach said, content creators can accelerate the success of a good product, but they can decelerate the failure of a bad product or accelerate the failure of a bad product.
Makes sense?
Does that make sense? Yeah. Because there's more people that are seeing it all at the same time. It's like, you know, you bring this out to market, what do people think? And then there it is.
Yeah.
What are the big plans for OTK in 2024 off the top of your head? Things that you're most excited for?
I'm super excited for Mad Mushroom. Like the opportunity to work on games without having to develop them because
I would say 50% of our meetings are about that now.
Yeah,
right?
Mushroom is huge because it's such a large scale endeavor and it's something we're super passionate about. Like you've been to the playtest, you know, you played these games that we're working on.
There's a lot of games that I'm genuinely looking forward to that I think are going to be just absolute smash hits. Super fucking fun.
I think if I go back to 2010 and I ask myself, you know, what's the thing I wish I was going to do when I was like out of college and stuff? The only thing higher than becoming a content creator, because I was super into it at the time, was getting into the game side of the industry and like game development.
Yeah.
Granted, it wasn't the career path that I chose, but having that opportunity and actually this is the year we're doing it, it's freaking exciting, man. I'm not going to lie. Like, it keeps me up at night in a good way.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think last week, or maybe, I don't remember if we had a meeting last week, but like whenever we were all here, like last time, what? I mean, like we were here for like 3 hours looking at games, talking about games.
That's what tonight's meeting is basically about.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So for each member of OTK, I'm going to ask you another pretty hard-hitting question here. What is something that you can pick, something for each member of OTK, what is something you think they should either do more of or do less of?
On a personal or a like professional standpoint?
Both.
Okay. Starting with Zach.
Sure.
On a personal level, I don't even think something that's you need to do. I would love to do it for you is clean your house.
Uh-huh.
That's what
uh-huh.
I would love.
Yeah.
Okay.
On a professional level, man, okay. I think Zach does about 99% of things better than anyone in the streaming space, personally.
I agree.
I think maybe sometimes taking a little bit of the edge off of some of the takes. But then again, I think to myself, that's what makes you who you are.
Yeah.
So like what gives me the right to tell somebody
I
that,
had this
right?
I've had this internal conversation a lot, right? It's like, you know, whenever I say something that's like very controversial or I say it in like a rough way, it's like, am I hurting my goals by saying it in a way that's like extremely brutal and blunt? Mm-hmm. Or am I serving like some sort of like greater goal because of the controversy that it creates? And then people are talking about what I'm saying. And I always think about that, right? Am I working against myself effectively?
Yeah. For sure.
And what did you find in your conclusion? Are you still working that out?
It's case by case basis.
Sure. I agree.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Do you think I'm ever working against myself?
I next time you are, I'll let you know.
Okay. Fuck yeah. Okay, cool. Just what do you think about me, Tips?
Honestly, and I just want to caveat this because I just feel like a giant dick for even just saying anything right now.
No.
I am in no position to be telling somebody what to do or what they should work on.
It's just because I'm asking.
Okay, for sure. For the hypothetical, I think honestly, Techie, in terms of, I'll stick with the professional side.
Sure.
When I first came across your Twitch channel.
Yes.
And Zach, you might remember this. I was like, dude, this guy could be like the next Asman.
Mm.
Straight up, I said that.
Yeah.
And I think you giving more takes and giving more opinions could do really well.
Yeah.
But I also think that it would potentially stir up a lot of controversy. So I don't know if that's something you want to go down the route.
Yeah.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is I think you being you, from a business standpoint, will probably be good for you. But then again, you know, some of your takes, actually, I don't know. You know what? Forget I just said that.
Well, so this is
don't be you, Techie. Don't be you at all.
this is what I think you do. Is like it. One thing that would help you a lot, and it's something that I try to work on, is like I try to think about what somebody else is going to think whenever I say something.
Yep.
And I think that a lot of times you just say it the way that you think about it.
Yep.
But like I view communicating as like a way of kind of it sounds bad, but manipulating a person's mind.
Sure.
And so it's like, am I working against my own interest by communicating in this way that's like abrasive that could potentially put somebody off? Yeah. So like, yeah, if you do more takes, I think that being more aware of that and like calibrating that, like, oh, what if I say it this way? Ooh, that didn't work.
Yep.
Okay, you know, try it some other way. I think that would probably be, that's what I did a lot. I still do it.
I agree. I'm trying very hard to with the, remember I told you I was trying to research into like the biases and the fallacies.
Sure.
So just trying to truly expand my mind for, because I do just go live and say whatever the fuck I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I think it would benefit me a lot to perceive the other perspective.
To kind of change the phrasing of my answer, you are an incredible orator and you're very easy to listen to. You're loud. Mm-hmm. I see people joking about like, oh my God, so loud. Mm-hmm. But I think you're very easy to listen to. Maybe it's because I'm deaf. I don't know.
Yeah.
But again, like I think you're great at articulation. You've got a great voice. You're great at expressing yourself. And you doing more of that, I think that's what people like to see on Twitch and YouTube and wherever and in mm-hmm. content. So I think that's probably what I'd say to you. And to everybody else, I mean, going one by one, I think a blanket statement I would say for everybody is look at streaming more as a traditional business model and think about what is my stream going to look like 5 years from now? What is it going to look like 10 years from now? That will inform your present strategy. And I think that'll also help people relax a lot more when they look at it that way. Because I feel like streamers nowadays, it's just chasing the view count of that day. Oh my God, I'm down, I'm up, I'm whatever. And I think thinking about it more long-term and like in terms of your brand positioning and stuff like that, I think it'll take a lot of the stress away from people.
Yeah.
And hopefully they get to be in the game longer if they want to be.
That's exactly why I moved away from Genshin Impact. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going, and it did. It fucked me catastrophically dropping that game cold turkey like I did. Now I just, you know, I kind of do what Asmund does. He just talks about the idiots of the community. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much my entire session of the game. I don't play the fucking game at all. I knew it was going to fuck me severely. But I was like, if there's ever a time to do this, it's right fucking now.
Yep.
And it took me about, oh man, probably like 9 months to undo the damages. But right now, my Twitch is doing the best it's ever done, ever. Even higher than Genshin COVID stats. So I think it paid off. Now the question is, can I sustain it? We'll see.
Well, just why not? I mean, just keep doing it. Right.
100%.
Because like I made that decision after Classic WoW. Because like I was like the same perspective you had, Tips, where it was like everything was about Classic WoW and then it happened and then it was over. And it's like, okay, well, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And so, and then I was like, I need to reimagine like what my stream is going to be. And like that's whenever I took a break. Yep. And I stopped like playing, like I started playing other games more. And then like in 2020, that's whenever I really started like trying to transition completely away from just being like Warcraft. And, you know, I would play Warcraft all the time, but I wouldn't make that my entire content.
Yeah.
And that helped me out a lot. And it took like probably 2 years to like really transition fully.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard.
It is.
It's hard as fuck.
It was hard whenever Soda did it too back in the day. I remember.
Dude, I was watching Soda. I used to be, me and my buddy Edric, we would watch Soda popping like when we were in high school.
Yeah.
He'd be doing Feral Druid PvP. She was insane.
Yeah.
Like that was wild when he joined the org.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think Soda, he used to do poker streams.
Yeah, he got he did poker streams.
He was early in on that, right?
Was funny as fuck.
Was super early in on it.
Fuck, dude. What do you think about NFTs?
That's a good question. I mean,
because like from my perspective, I think NFTs could be utilized properly. I don't think they are currently, but I think they would be very cool if you were to implement it in like a gacha game where you like you have this many amount of characters. Once they're all pulled, there's no more. And it would give you a sense of ownership for creatures in a game. I think they could be implemented very cool. I don't think we're there yet.
How could that work?
Okay, so let's say a new banner unit comes up.
Okay.
And they say, once 10,000 copies of this character are pulled, there is no more.
And you need an NFT for that?
Is that... That's what NFT essentially is, no?
No.
Well, NFTs
are... Am I understanding what NFT is?
NFT is a receipt, basically, that you own a digital asset. So most of the services and utilities of NFTs are things that already exist.
Okay.
And so NFTs just provide a receipt for that thing. But it is still up to the company to acknowledge that receipt either way. So like, for example, if you own something in a video game, like a lot of NFTs even that you own, you don't actually own. You only own a right to distribute it in a certain way. Like, for example, there were like NBA NFTs that were being sold.
NBA NFTs?
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's 2021, lunacy. And so, but they don't really own the distribution rights to that. Yep. They don't own the rights to monetize it in any way that they want. So even whenever you own an NFT, all you really own is the fact that you had a version of this. So like with limited items or something like that, that's something that a video game can create without NFTs. Yep. I don't think that a game, like everybody hates NFT games, I think that there will eventually be a good game that comes out that's an NFT game and people will play it. Yeah. People don't hate NFTs. People just hate NFT games.
So then what's a proper way to utilize NFTs in a game?
Well, I don't know yet. I mean, I think that, and this is really the problem.
I don't think anybody does.
Yeah.
Like,
because if they did, they would have done it.
Well, because
in my opinion, this is how hard it is to make a game.
Yeah.
There's a running joke in the game dev circles where Jeff Bezos literally created a fucking rocket ship, right? Like, he literally created a rocket ship.
Yeah.
What is it called? Blue Origin? Is that his or is that the other guy's? I think it's Blue Origin. So this guy literally went to space.
Yep.
Before he could create a successful video game, because they had founded Amazon Games at the time And Blue Origin was able to get into space faster than Amazon Games was able to make a video game. That's how hard it is to make a good video game.
That's insane.
So this is the fucking, this is how high you have to go. And then to add an NFT component on top of it that's like meaningful, it's even higher.
Yeah.
So it's like adding a hard mode onto already one of the hardest professions out there. In terms of NFTs, and like just to answer your question directly, and all these emerging technologies, I think we are at a very interesting crossroads in human history where the digital and the real are finally mixing. And you know, in 10, 20 years from now, if we make it that long, we're going to see some wild ass shit, right? Yep. And I think that as these technologies like NFTs, like all this AI stuff like comes up, my position is I am curious, I am interested, but I am not convinced by anything until I see a practical use case.
Yep.
There has to be a way to use them. If it's just NFTs, oh, you know, hey, you get to own this receipt or whatever, like Asman's saying, then it's complete bullshit is how I see it. But if someone's able to incorporate them in a way that we don't see yet and it makes sense and there's a use case for them, then I'm for them. Like, I don't have any bias towards any form of technology. I generally am more techno-optimist than most, I think, but it has to come with a purpose behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's the episode.
GG's.
There it is. GG's.
You said the thing!
GG's.
There it is.
Been waiting all episode to say this.
Well, everybody, thank you for sitting with us and thank you for supporting the Patreon. Asman, as always, thank you for being here with me. And Tips, hope you enjoyed the stay for Steak and Eggs Overcooked.
It was awesome hanging out with you guys. I really appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
I'm glad you had fun, man. I am.
We will see you guys again next week. And thank you, as always, for supporting the Patreon. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Awesome. See you. Then you turn.